That's right, Star Trek Discovery, the show that we always talk about. You never know if a character is safe. Anybody can die, but as it turns out, anybody can die or come back to life and then die. We have it all this week. Star Trek Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at Christian DMZ. That's Twitter and Instagram. Don't look for me anywhere else. You really won't find me. Back from the frozen tundra of Utah, right? Carrie Lane. How are you?
I'm doing good and glad to be back. Thank you.
We'll spend 1 minute. Tell us a little bit about being at Sundance. I know that that's not what the show's about, but I think people would want to hear.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I'd probably say my favorites were, there's a horror movie called Summer of 84, which was really good.
Was it set in 1984?
Yes, it was.
All right, I'm in. I don't need to know anymore.
And tagline is, every serial killer lived next door to somebody.
Now that's true.
Yeah. So it's like a nice horror thriller one. I really enjoyed that one. And then in Slam Dance, My Name is Maisha was a really good one, too. That's based on a true case in 1998 where a black woman was killed by police in Riverside, and the film deals with like recounting it, but also going into like her dreamscape, and then there's also like music, dancing, and so it's kind of a neat like exploration of like somebody's thought process and everything. So those were both really good. You can see tons of my interviews on the Popcorn Talks Facebook page. I interviewed a lot of different people at both Slam Dance and Sundance.
One final question. Favorite person that you got to talk to?
Could
just be the conversation was the best conversation, or it could be somebody that you're legitimately excited about.
I was excited to talk to Carlson Young because she was on the TV show Scream, so that was kind of cool of like, oh, I recognize her and I know her, and I just went up to her and was like, hey, can I talk to you for a few minutes and interview you about your film? So that was cool.
My friend, her sister was the killer season one of Scream.
Nice.
So it's hard to pay attention to her when she's talking. Anyway, and...
But I was going to say where you can find me. I didn't really say that.
That's right. I started talking about all
No,
that
it's fine.
Where can they find you?
I should say that. Yes, you all can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And again, yeah, go to Popcorn Talks Facebook page for a lot of the interviews.
And at the other end of the desk, searching for the perfect piece of pie, Frank Moran.
Yes.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And if you follow your Instagram, you're going to see
You're going to get hungry.
Yeah, it's a lot of places that I've either been to or I'm like, yeah, I've been meaning to go there. So,
You're tapping right into it.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm just right into Christian. He's my specific target audience.
And it's a lot of times, you know, I get to look at Instagram at like 3 a.m, you know, between 2-month-old baby feeding. So, it's like, oh, if only I could go out of the house, I would go to 4 and 20.
Delivery.
Well, maybe not at 3 a.m. But anyway,
depends where.
We're here to talk about Star Trek.
Yes.
Star Trek Discovery in particular. And Steve in the booth, when you have a moment, if you could bring up our friends in the chat. Because even though it's late on a Sunday night, we always have friends in the chat. And we appreciate that. I felt that this was another strong episode of Star Trek Discovery. I was having a conversation about the show recently with a friend. And I was like, well, I'd say it's the best new show on TV, except it's not on TV. You know, it's on a streaming service. But I think that they're definitely finishing up strong. This was episode 13, and there's only two more. We have 2 more weeks of new episodes. And then we won't have any further episodes, I think, until 2019 at some point, because they're going to take a little time. But it's interesting, because Frank and I have talked about this on the show and off. Considering all of the behind-the-scenes turmoil there was in getting this show launched and started, at least in general terms, I feel like it turned out really well, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Usually when there's that much drama, it translates to the screen, and the show easily could have gotten lost. But this episode, What's Past is Prologue, basically picks right up where we left off. And I'll start with you, Frank. Overall thoughts before we dive into this episode.
I really enjoyed it. It's probably been one of my favorite episodes of the series. Because I think we've kind of lamented that it originally was kind of showcased, pitched and presented as a Burnham show.
Yes.
It was going to be, she was going to be our point of view character for the series. But we also felt like perhaps you weren't seeing a lot of focus on the other characters. And I felt like the little bits and pieces that we got throughout the season so far really culminated in this episode. So while Burnham had a big journey in this, it was also giving a little payoff to a lot of the other characters and seeing some of their, at least mini character arcs that have been presented throughout, you know, kind of shorthand throughout the season, kind of brought to the forefront.
I agree wholeheartedly. This was a great Saru episode. Mm-hmm. I think we're really getting to see him, you know, find himself here and in the captain's chair. And I, for one, don't see any reason why he should have to relinquish that chair.
No, from how he was several episodes ago earlier this season, where he was kind of struggling how he wanted to be a captain. It was really cool to see him kind of just find his place and kind of really give an inspirational speech to the...
Yeah, a speech where he addresses that his people know when death is coming, and he's like, I don't feel it.
Yep.
And you know what?
Rally
if he did if he did feel it, that's even better, because a great leader knows how to lie to the troops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carrie, what did you think about, and you weren't here last week, so that you had 2 weeks to catch up on.
Yeah, I agree that the show is definitely picking up the pace. I loved all the fighting and action sequences.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's exciting television, and it's not just, like, little cheesy stuff. Higher stakes as well. Like, this is the end of the universe as we know it, and actually multi-universes, so that was exciting. And, yeah, it's just much more exciting a show.
Yeah, I mean, the stakes were very high in this episode.
And I agree with what Frank said, in too, of, like, more characters got showcased as it went on, which was nice to see more about them.
Yeah, and as I referenced in the opening, you know, characters, we've often said that no one is safe on this show, but even characters who've died are able to come back because of the Mirror Universe. So, you know, sort of a minor character, Commander Landry, all of a sudden just, well, there she is coming out of an agonizer, and was short-lived, her rebirth, because I don't see how you walk away from that. And I saw somebody in the chat say that they don't feel like Mirror Lorca is dead. And I think that there was an instant when he falls out of the ship where you might think that, but then he's vaporized. So
yeah, it was like we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, unless that's some weird kind of transporter that we're not familiar with. But
or he becomes a mycelium universe.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I feel that like
that's my only maybe.
I feel like other Stamets might actually, you know, have been absorbed in there somehow, and we might see him again. But I don't know. What do you think on either of those, Frank?
I don't think Stamets is going to be around, certainly since we saw him get that hit with the phaser. What I do like about that, though, because there's always that question of, like, you know, how long do you keep somebody that is that cunning and wily and so knowledgeable? How long do you keep them alive? And I thought that was just a really nice moment where it's like, yeah, I think we reached a point where if we keep you around any longer, it's probably going to turn out bad for us. So let's just get the smartest guy out of the room, out of the way right now.
Wellington Smith was saying that he likes this new version of the Star Trek universe that sticks with the original vision of diversity and being science friendly. I think that is kind of the fundamental difference between the Terran Empire and the Federation. Is, you know, I mean, Lorca even says it, you know, that the Federation is an experiment that is destined to fail, you know, just mixing all those different kinds of people. You know, it's sort of a very eugenics Nazi vibe that you get there, you know. It's just like, you know, but at the same time, I liked the fact that Lorca takes the time to address this crew that he led for an indeterminate amount of time, possibly as much as a year, although I don't know. I mean, I think he said that he ended up in the other universe about a year ago is something I think that they mentioned incidentally.
Yeah, because I feel like that's the biggest thing is, like, what happened to Prime Universe Lorca then?
Well, we have definitely not seen the last of him, and I still think we will see Mira Burnham. I don't think that they're together, but we don't know that Mira Burnham's dead. I guess we see her
they
badge.
I think she is.
But I don't know. You don't see a body. You know.
Do we think Prime Lorca could still be alive?
I think Prime Lorca should still be alive, and maybe Mira Lorca, you know, I don't know, detained
gone.
Him in some way, you know,
so
that he could take his place, and he didn't go as far as wanting to kill himself, you know?
I kind of wanted to see more people interact with their mirror version.
Yeah, there were some nice moments where there were characters that we would see, basically, like in one scene we saw the Terran Empire version of them, and then the next scene we saw the Federation version of them. But yeah, there was not a lot of interacting. But yeah, I agree with this idea that it was very exciting, It was building really well. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll get into some more specifics. I'm glad that they're not in the Mirror Universe anymore.
Yes.
But they dumped themselves right into a problem that will need out to be addressed.
Out of the pan into the fire.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Jeff Santos says we will see Mara Burnham and Prime Lorca. I think we will, but there's only two more episodes, so we may not see them. But if we see them, I feel like it'll be in the final minutes of the season one finale.
And then a couple people are talking about how they feel about Burnham. Some people are like, still more eh, and then should she be a captain? I think she's better as a second in command, actually.
Well, yeah, I still think it's going to be pretty tough for her to get her stripes, as it were. I still don't think she'll get to be a Federation officer. She'll get some kind of specialist. You know, she certainly proved her value. And, you know, I think Saru would put in a nice word for her. There's a very nice moment where Saru, talking to her, calls her my friend.
Yes.
Which I thought, you know, talking about his evolution as a captain, just sort of the evolution of their relationship, which even before she was a mutineer, was not the strongest relationship.
Mm-hmm. And especially to somebody that, given their first reunion, may have been more inclined to like, you know what, I'm going to just leave you here on the ship because it's too much of a risk. But no, it's like, I'm not going to leave and head back to our Prime Universe without you. So,
Wellington says Burnham is best as third in command, not as captain. Yeah, I don't think captain, but like second or third. Like, she does follow orders pretty well. I just don't think she should necessarily leave.
Yeah, I think...
Lead.
Yeah, I think that her voice is useful on the bridge. You know, and just where she sits... She can be off in the back. That's fine. You know, she can be a researcher.
I like Patrick's theory that Burnham will solve the Klingon problem.
Well, there is a Klingon problem to be solved.
Yes. Infestation?
Yes. So let's sort of go through the episode a little bit. So we get to see Lorca basically breaking free, getting the band back together, as it were, and he immediately starts looking for the Mirror Universe version of Stamets, and a little clever trick he's trying to hide, and I really hoped you were dead was a nice moment, and you know, Stamets goes a long way proving himself useful. And it was kind of interesting because he was like, you know, Lorca wants to see the bioweapon that Stamets was developing for the Emperor. And he's like, show it to me. He's like, happily, sir. So it's like, whatever it takes to keep me alive for another, like, hour or so.
Although, it's from last week's episode when he comes out of the network and he hops up out of his bed and he walks with, like, a purpose. And then we come to him this episode and he's, like, camouflaging and hiding. Like,
yeah, his purpose was to hide.
I guess so. And it's like, all right.
That's true. That is
he needed to devise a plan how to hide. And then he's like, I got something.
It certainly seemed when the way he popped up last week, it made it feel like I'm going somewhere with intention to now be like, nope.
Just kidding.
And something we touched on last week was that Mirror Stamets didn't seem that different from Prime Stamets, but we realized the way that he's using the spore technology is basically a disaster waiting to happen. And that's the level of the stakes that we're talking about, because we realize fairly quickly that it's like, oh yeah, so that would be really bad, not just for that ship, not just for our ship, not just for the Mirror Universe, but for everywhere, if they're able to basically deplete the network. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, now we have to do something, you know?
Actually, the similarities made me think of how in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. they have that in the alternate reality kind of thing they do. Which you're going to get to.
I'm not in this season. So, I'm in an awful season.
It's not the current one.
With Ada, the android, and I just cannot wait for it to end.
It's going to go on for a while.
Yeah, I know.
But though that it deals with, like, would you be different in, like, an alternate reality? Because some characters in S.H.I.E.L.D. stay the same, like how in Discovery some of them are kind of the same, and then some of them are different because it depends what is that pivotal moment that maybe changed you or environment.
Well, one of the things we've talked about, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but whenever we have the Mirror Universe in Star Trek, you tend to see the same people having at least some similar kind of relationship, which I think has been interesting. And it's also
Thank you. The framework. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. that
is, it goes on for a while.
I know. It's stick so, with it. It's so bad.
It goes on a little too long.
You think?
Yeah.
Anyway, not.
You're not done yet.
But we'll talk about it on Marvel TV Weekly tomorrow night. I've only got like 14 more episodes to watch. Anyway. Well, I hear the Ghost Rider shows up again. Anyway, so I guess that, you know, what we're starting to see, though, is just, okay, we can't really just leave them be, you know. The Discovery can't just hightail it out of there. So even if they had wanted to leave Burnham behind, they still would have to address what they're doing to this mycelial network. Mm-hmm. So basically they were going to have to take out the Emperor's ship no matter what. And I think that, I don't know, it just sort of led to some decision making that I think was a little bit more interesting. And we see Lorca being so fixated on Burnham that he's like, I don't even care that this isn't my Burnham. Yeah. You look like her, that's fine.
So is this like totally infatuated, obsessed with her?
That seems a little bit like that, yeah.
Because I can't quite tell how romantic it was or just lustful it was.
It's only ever alluded to, and mostly from what Giorgio has to say in the past episode. What did you think about sort of the dynamic?
It is interesting because given how, and we see more of it this episode where he kind of sees that really kind of obsession with Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
But that he was, then I got to give it up for Lorca. He played it really calm and cool in the Prime Universe, because even though he wanted her on the ship, in terms of like being an infatuation, wanting to be around her constantly, they didn't have a ton of interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly he had intentions for her, but it was never really kind of overtly.
Patrick points out he groomed her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true. Yeah.
It's I'd want to know a little bit more, because it's one of those like, okay, I get it, you're obsessed with her, but I'd kind of want to know a little bit more info on that. But she notices, she's like, yeah, you'd only get my mind.
Yeah. But even then, he's just like, well, you'll settle into it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, which is just the ultimate guy response. Yes. You know, it's just like, yeah, okay, you say that.
Nicholas says, I totally expected Lorca to kiss Michael while they were fighting. Good point.
Yeah, I think that that probably would have been a moment of weakness where you could have certainly...
That would throw her off her guard a bit.
Yeah, but also you'd be a lot easier to kill.
Yeah.
You know, he would, so... but she wasn't going to kill him, as she says later, so...
Yeah. Well, Jeff, we're getting a little ahead, but I like this thought. Jeff says the Emperor will help with the war effort, and then...
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, yeah, that's definitely something that we'll talk about, because
we saw that in the preview.
Oh, I thought you're just clearing your throat. I was like, what?
I've got something.
What kind of pie do they serve in 10 Forward?
Do you feel this connects to the other Star Wars universe? Because this is put on.
You mean Star Trek?
Star Trek, sorry. Diggs Byrethorn. Happy to see the Federation losing the war. Like I had hoped that Discovery either has to change the history or jump to the TOS universe. And Wellington, Lorca, and Michael kissing. Ew.
Yeah, I agree with that, Wellington.
Well, I don't know. I necessarily think they have to change history. It's just that they have to now take everything that they were supposed to give the Federation before they got diverted.
Yeah. What we don't know is if this is exactly what happened in the timeline, you know, before the original series. This it could be something that they don't need to then go back and fix. I don't think at this point, you know, time travel is as simple as it was in Star Trek IV, the little slingshot around the sun. And I don't think that... I think, you know, basically, I feel like you need Scotty and Spock, like, you know, crunching the numbers to get something like that together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they have the ability to go back 9 months or even 8 months or something. But, I mean, they also might. But
I feel like this was too easy of a fix.
I would like to see them have to fix it going forward, you know? And the idea that, oh, we could try and go 9 months back, but then we go 90 years back. So let me ask you, Frank, because as soon as this happened, I had this thought. When they overshot and they ended up in the Alpha Quadrant, did you hope that they overshot it by like 100 years?
I was about to ask you that same question too, yes.
Because I was like, oh, wait, where are they?
Yep.
And then I'm like, oh, no, just 9 months.
I know, that 9 months kind of went out of my sails a bit. Like, no, that was it.
Not 90 years.
Yeah, I know. I was
like, anything. I would take anything, basically, but no.
Yep.
Just 9 months.
Yeah, I was like, dang
it. But they also would have kind of abandoned where the story was when they jumped over. Mm-hmm. So
which
I guess from a narrative standpoint, it's useful. But you're like, I'd be willing sacrifice yeah. it. If we had two episodes in the late 24th century.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I really liked sort of seeing the way that Lorca was getting his troops together. And but one of the early fight scenes was great. You know, Georgiou had the containment field mm-hmm. and had some yes. extra guns. And that it's like, you good. Know, it's her ship. She's got it pimped out. She's got it ready to go. And it just, you know, granted, Captain Georgiou in the Prime Universe, we only saw her in two episodes. But she's a completely different character, yeah. you know, because just not that she wasn't, you know, sort of a original series kind of hands-on captain, you know, fisticuffs mm-hmm. running around, you know, beaming down to the planet and all that. But, I mean, this was just really impressive. And it was great to watch sort of the multiple one-on-ones against Lorca, yeah. I thought, yeah.
Dude, the phaser guns that, like, zap you to oblivion. I was like, yeah. oh, okay, there's the ones that just did a hole, and then there's the ones that's like, you're gone.
Yeah, those seem to be the ones from the Mirror Universe, because everything's yes. designed to be more okay. destructive and painful. At least that's yeah. my understanding.
Yeah, those are good choreography fight scene, that big battle. Yeah. The hallway one, and then the
one towards the end of the episode yeah. was just like...
The throne room.
Yeah, I was yeah. just like, this is going on for a while. I was not complaining. I was mm-hmm. just like... the only way it took me out of it was just because I was impressed. I'm like, how long do you rehearse this?
Yeah.
You know, how many stunt doubles do you have? And, you know, I don't know.
Because a lot seemed to be going on all at one time, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was great, but it's funny because what stood out for me was there's kind of this scene with Burnham and Emperor Georgiou, just one-on-one, I don't know, in like... a ready room or whatever that conference room was. That was great. I was just like, yeah, it's like the scene where almost nothing's happening it was great to just sort of have the emotion mm-hmm. and her explaining, you know, that, you know, I kind of killed you in my universe, not directly, but my actions led to mm-hmm. it. And I thought that, I don't know, I thought it was interesting. What did you thought that was?
I enjoyed that scene too. And also them with their emblems, showing them of like,
yeah.
their badges of connection to someone yeah. they love. And like, I understand you lost someone, but I lost someone too. Like, this isn't, you know, we should be working together kind of thing. And yeah. so that was just a nice moment to like take a breather. And how did you know this place? Because I know you. And it's like, even though you are different, you're just kind of the same. And then even the response is like, yeah, you're not quite her.
Yeah. What did you think, Frank? Did you?
I would, because it only came in around 43 minutes and some change for this week. This is a time
which
is
better than last week's 39 minutes. I'm true. Still mad about that.
But I almost kind of wish I would have liked to see it a little bit more cat and mouse with Lorca and Georgiou.
Because
I felt it was pretty easy for Georgiou all of a sudden to be kind of on the defensive and yeah. having to be scrambling around. It's like, man, she's so cunning. She's the emperor. I figure, like, can't be mm-hmm. Lorca just does one gambit and all of a sudden she's on the ropes. I was hoping for a little back and forth.
I like the Energize escape, though. That was cool.
No, that was cool.
Though definitely. I think she should have said it faster because I felt it wasn't said fast enough. I'm like, you could have been shot. This is like any transformation sequence in any anime or even Power Rangers idea. I'm like, why don't you just shoot them when they're transforming?
Right,
unless so they have a force field.
The moment when she does the emergency transport. Yeah.
So she's just like, emergency transport. I'm like, no, that needs to be like, emergency, like, and go.
I mean, you abbreviate it ET or something.
Yeah, ET.
I mean, just something, exactly. You know, like, now. Yes. That's true. But
yeah.
I thought it was, it was a nice tactic that...
people are going to miss the uniforms, apparently. The Terran uniforms.
The Terran uniforms on this show were great. And I'll tell you, when in the course of this episode... Cadet Tilly went back to looking like Cadet Tilly. I was like, no. I liked the
Terry.
Yeah, the Captain Killy. I was just like, I thought it was going to be her new look. It was like she got a makeover. And then I'm like, oh, here she's back.
Got her bun back, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's better for science or whatever.
Well, they could do a happy medium.
Like, yeah,
they
right?
could have done something in between, yeah.
Well, apparently not.
No.
Yeah, so.
We still have two more episodes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she's not going to get a makeover in one of them.
Beaver says, okay, Google, emergency transport. That's like Siri. Like one of those. Takes too long.
Yeah, Siri definitely takes too long. When I try to have Siri emergency
it'd
transport.
It'd be the wrong thing. It'd be like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Electronic transport?
It'll show
what?
Up like a car carrier.
Yeah.
It's like, here you go. That's a transport, yeah. isn't it?
Yeah.
I... you know, there's the moment too where Giorgio says that, you know, she's going to kill Lorca, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, clearly that's going to happen. You know, yeah. He's just like, I don't think so. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, you know, pretty sure it's going to work out that way.
Oh, I like that moment when Burnham's like, I'm going to kill you. And then she's like, I am.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm like, oh, good. Because I always hate that in a movie or a show when someone gets yeah. their revenge
and they
kill.
Put their gun down. And
no, but you get your revenge kill, but your victim doesn't know it's you. Because don't you yeah. want that satisfaction? Like, no, I yeah. did it. So she at least calls it out. So he gets a second.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's like 1 second. Yeah. And there's also not the second where
he doesn't fall right. Yeah, yeah.
Where he tries to kill her. Yes. And then, you know, Giorgio has to kill him. No, she just kills him because she wants to. Mm-hmm. And she needs to. And as she makes clear, she's not getting the empire back. You know, she, yeah. I thought it was an interesting turn of phrase that they've seen my neck. You know, she's a failed emperor. And this is something that we theorized on the show that maybe she'd figure out a way to bring Giorgio back to the Prime Universe. And mm-hmm. Go figure, she did. Even though I thought it was possible, I don't think at that, you know, like right before she did it, I had that thought. But even when she was like saying, go, I'll cover you, you know, I'm going to be dead anyway, I didn't think like, oh, she's going to jump and grab her. But it, yeah. I don't know, it was a sort of a nice moment because clearly it's like, no, I'm too messed up over having you die once. I feel like I can't run away and let you die again.
It was kind of weird, though, because refresh my memory, if they do it that much in the show, in touching her, shouldn't they have arrived together as well?
Oh, when they...
Yeah, when they get beamed up?
Yeah.
I thought it was... I mean, it's a visual thing to us that we go, ooh, where is she?
I know, they were on a different pad, and yeah. they should have actually been on the
yeah,
same pad.
Yeah, because I was like, that's in the
is
way?
That That's correct, right, Frank? I mean, we've seen it before.
Yeah, but I guess also the idea is, like, I guess the transporter beams kind of separate them into two individual life signs.
And right, otherwise you end up with there. Whoops. Yeah. You know, so, as seen in Star Trek The Motion Picture.
That's right.
Whoops. So... yeah, I think that, you know, it's obviously, you know, there's a few ways that it could have gone. Okay. But, yeah, it's...
But if I feel like if she... Like, I understand what she's saying about being a failed emperor, but if she was able to take out the rest of Lorca's troops, isn't she an emperor that, you know, put down an attempted mm-hmm. Mutiny?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's... But I think that... She had lost, they even made a point that she had lost, I think they called them her lords.
Oh, I think
and stuff.
She would be
so
weak.
She didn't have enough support there on yeah. the bridge. I'm just talking about to stay alive, yeah. you know, because Lorca's people were coming for her. Mm-hmm. And ultimately the point would have been moot because the Discovery was going to destroy the ship.
Yeah.
So even if she had beaten every single person and she'd been there triumphant, she would have been mm-hmm. the... Emperor of a ship that's about to blow up.
But what I did like about her is I did like Burnham rescuing Giorgio. Because so mm-hmm. often you see these kind of premises set up where you've got to say goodbye to that alternate version. You know, because it's just, you know, that's just the way
so
the
story is. Why don't we bring you?
Yeah.
Because then also would there be less of a, you know, paradox or something or some conflict because the other version isn't alive?
Right. Well, when you have the mirror universe, you don't seem to have to worry about paradoxes. That's more yeah. time travel within the same timeline.
So then it'd be fine. Because then also wouldn't you be interesting to have your other with you?
Right. But of course, you know, Giorgio is going to be in yeah. a universe that she knows a little bit about. But yeah. She does not fit in.
No.
And as, you know, that's probably going
Question
to be very useful.
How well will she learn and adapt?
I don't know. I also want to know how long she's actually going to, you know, live in this universe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's two more episodes. I suspect she'll be in both of them. Mm-hmm. But beyond that.
Yeah, because I feel like this is the nice thing about being like a streaming show as opposed to being like a network show where there's supposed to be like a, for the most part, like a status quo. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, we just got to have, you know, our original core members and that's it. If we do something kind of crazy or game-changing like this where we have like a mirror universe or an alternate universe, we're not going to really bring anybody over there to the real universe because that's how do you exist with that in terms of the status quo. But I feel like this, you don't have to worry about things like that. It's this is kind of do your own yeah. thing and tell your own story.
And by the way, there's a debate going on in the chat right now as to whether or not Lorca is dead. There's a lot of...
Prime Lorca?
Mirror Lorca.
Mirror Lorca got vaporized.
I feel pretty confident that he's dead, but I'm just as confident that they didn't worry about that, you know, just basically closing that plot line because they knew that they have the other one somewhere and where he is. But
I'd be okay if the Prime one's alive somewhere out there, but if like Mir one is still alive, I'd be like, well, okay.
Now, would
they
Prime,
better have a really good explanation.
Would Prime Lorca be instated as captain of the Discovery? You know,
yes, but no.
I mean, ultimately, it would be up to Admiral Cornwall, who we see will be in next mm-hmm. episode, along with Sarek, who has been in quite a few episodes, Sarek has. So,
well, then I guess the question is, when did Mir take over?
I think that...
How far back?
That's the biggest question I think we have, and somewhere within the last year, and only the last year. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a... I hope there'll be an explanation. I was going to say there'll be an explanation in the next 2 weeks, but there might not. They might not take the time to really explain it to us. They have a lot to deal with that isn't that.
Because I think with merely Universe Lorca, certainly has a lot of plans and backups, but I don't think he ever envisioned himself losing this. I feel like he spent all this time to come to the palace with a plan to win. I don't think he ever imagined, like, well, I better have a backup just in case I get killed, or I could be in a potentially life-threatening situation to be able to get myself out of there. So I don't think Mir Lorca is still alive.
Yeah, and to that point, there's a great line in the beginning of the episode. He says, I've been to another universe and back. You'd think I'd come all this way without a plan.
Yep.
And he had a plan, but he's clearly not smarter than Burnham. And I don't know how many times we've seen the, oh, I have this person that I'm bringing as a prisoner, and I'm surrendering myself. I'm like... Man, he's going to fall for it, isn't he? But I think he's a little blinded, a little blindsided by how much that he wanted to have Burnham around.
It's just the sparkle in his eyes. He's like, you're back. I missed you.
What I love about that scene, though, because it reminded me of an episode of Next Generation where Picard communicates to Riker just through a few words, like, number one, we have an opportunity. And that's just like the kind of phrase that they know between them, like, all right, this is our moment to strike. And so when Burnham
that was a good and Saru
have that moment
yes.
there, like, it's like, I like that, where you just, they know so each other so well with a few key words. They understand, like, this
I'm
is
in
the
right place I need to be.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly
go,
where I need to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I did like that Lorca goes, wait a minute. Like, goes, okay, hold on. Because it doesn't, it sounds like, yeah, sure, and then you go, wait. That almost sounds too perfect.
Saying?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, everything goes according to plan. They blow up the floating
that was
casino
very cool.
Emperor ship. And
going through it.
Yeah, which was interesting. That's when, the science part of science fiction, you're just like, I'm just going to go with it. Like, I don't know if I believed in the spore drive. I don't know if I bought into how it worked. And, like, I definitely don't buy into the fact that this explosion is going to... But it's like, it's cool. You explained it. At least you took the time to explain it. That's the worst thing, is we're just like, oh, no, we'll be fine. Well, what about the fact that it's a huge explosion? No, it's fine. So at least they addressed it,
and
they tried to explain
it. And then also they do the spore jump that you go... Oh, like that was a really great tension moment of like, oh no, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Okay, do the jump. And then there's like, whew.
And then, of course, then people like Frank and I hoping that they ended up somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
But let's give it up to Michelle Yeoh. How awesome she was in that fight sequence. Like, high kick in Lorca in the face.
Oh, I love that one, too.
That was great.
I was like, yes.
Ducking the phaser beam.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's specifically that sequence is what I was thinking about when I was just saying she's just such a completely different character.
Yeah.
And it must have been fun for her. It's like, you're going to come back.
She has that
ability.
You're
going to be her, but... You're gonna really get to do a lot of stuff, and we hadn't really seen that much out of Lorca. Not that he hadn't been in fights, but so that was probably one of those things that took a couple extra days. But at the same time, it was probably fun for the actors.
Even a play of just like Lorca and Burnham at that moment where he's no matter how much is turning against him, he's like, "Don't make me kill you! Don't make me kill you!"
Yes,
Wellington Smith, Michelle Yeoh is so freaking awesome with many exclamation points.
Yes,
there's a conversation about the Orville going on in there in the chat as well, which I find to be funny. And the interesting thing about the Orville, and we'll get back to Star Trek Discovery in a minute. I think if you take the jokes out of the show and if you were to just do bullet points in the stories, some of the episodes are actually really good Star Trek stories.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Have you watched it at all, Frank?
I've watched some of it, and what I think I like about that is what we're not seeing this particular season, but I know they said they were going to address in season two, is seeing more of those just allegory tales that the original series was so well known for.
Right.
We really haven't seen that. It's been just a very long, continuous story for this story arc. So the Orville stories kind of break down with you kind of like, this is a Star Trek I remember watching. Where it is those kind of those allegories told in the science fiction realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, it's almost like some of it was funny, and some of the jokes fall flat for me. I'm like, oh, it might even be better if it wasn't a comedy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anytime I hear Seth MacFarlane talk, it's just hard to imagine him as anyone other than like the six cartoon characters. Like Brian the dog is just his regular voice. So if I hear him talk, I'm just like, yeah, that's a dog. But no, I do enjoy it. And you know, if there were no Star Trek Discovery, it would be the, you know, hey. The Orville's actually on TV. So could you say that the Orville is the best Star Trek show on TV? I don't know. You might be able to. Well,
there are different shows, you know, because, yeah, one is more comedic and then one is more...
Yeah, I mean, that one, the approach drama. Is supposed to be yeah. comedic. And
so I think you can like both of them. They're not really ones you would compare.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing, too, is because sometimes people will just sort of passively, you know, just kind of see a commercial and be like, man, the Orville looks like a ripoff of Star Trek. I'm like, well, it's supposed to be. I mean, oh, Seth MacFarlane's a huge Star yeah. Trek fan. When he hosted the Oscars, he figured out a way to have William Shatner be in his monologue, you know, in character, by the way, as James T. Kirk, as Admiral Kirk, by the way, in the red. Anyway, but anyway, I appreciate that they're having all the these side conversations mm-hmm. as well. Nicholas Stormy, just like me, I watch the Orville as if Brian is the captain. Steve Owen, I think people, if people like the Orville, they might as well just watch the original series Next Generation instead. But if you've seen it already, maybe you just want some new stories.
New content, yeah.
You know, I mean... There was a really interesting story that they did on the Orville where the sort of non-gender, like all male characters, and then they gave birth to a girl and they had a gender reassigned to be a male. And there was like, it was just like, that's a very Star Trek sort of story. Mm-hmm. Well, not original series, but that's a very, you know, next gen onward sort of story that I think you could have seen. I don't know. I think it's well done. Oddly enough, the budget for Star Trek Discovery just seems much – it seems infinite. I don't know. It seems like they're wanting to spend so much money, but it's because – and we talked about this – because it airs like on Netflix internationally, Netflix pays so much per episode that it's like that's kind of what
on
pays
Orville?
For it. No,
on
for
Discovery?
Discovery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
– Wait, Netflix?
Netflix outside of the United States and Canada. It's actually on regular TV in Canada.
That. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like Australia – I have a friend who lives in Australia. So every Monday it just shows up on Netflix in Australia, the UK, and around. And Netflix paid an obscene amount of money per episode.
Mm.
So they're just like, well, I guess we can spend it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the most impressive things about the show. We're 13 episodes in. And you don't see some of the cost cutting you tend to notice, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, my favorite example is the original 70s Battlestar Galactica, where they just reused a lot of sequences of ships taking off and even, you know, battle sequences.
Yep.
You just sort of repurposed them a lot.
Yep.
And, you know, then you would do what Star Trek, various Star Trek series would do sometimes. Like, well, we're going to be on a planet where technology doesn't exist and they just ride horses and stuff because we spent way too much money on those effects.
A quick shout out, somebody pointed out Left Hand of Darkness, and yeah, Ursula Gwynn actually just recently passed away. Speaking of genders, and you were mentioning that from the other show.
Sure.
If you guys aren't familiar with Left Hand of Darkness, that was a really cool book, and the thing I really remember from it is like throughout your lifetime, you switch your sex from male to female, so you could be the father of a child and the mother of a child.
Interesting.
Like, that's super cool, and it's just like very fluid. I mean, I read it a very long time ago, so I don't remember a lot more details, but like that was something that stood out to me, and I was like, that's such a cool and like great sci-fi thing to explore.
And what's the name of the book?
Left Hand of Darkness.
Left Hand of Darkness.
By Ursula Le Guin, and she is a big prominent sci-fi writer, or was.
Oh, and she
recently
just passed
away.
I was reading, I was not familiar with her at all, and I just saw a lot of people sort of, you know, testimonies like mm-hmm. that, just saying how much they enjoyed her work. Clark Stark, I recently rewatched Spock's Brain on the original series. Now I think Discovery is the best Star Trek show ever made. There's one level in which it's the best Star Trek show ever made, just in terms of what it looks like, because of the amount of money they spent on it. I mean, as great as The Next Generation was, I mean, it was first-run syndication, especially the early seasons. They're like, you know, Paramount's like, we're not going crazy with this, you know? I mean, it's Star Trek. And, you know, it's like when the ship gets hit, everybody goes to the side, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Like, that's okay, that's something in watching this episode and other ones, too. Seatbelts. All these spaceships need seats with seatbelts. Everyone's, like, flying around, standing at their consoles.
I mean,
like,
it wouldn't be Star Trek with seatbelts.
No, it would not.
It just doesn't feel right.
But I do love the, like, the bouncy around. And I haven't gotten to that episode yet, but I saw a scene from Black Mirror, and they have, like, a fake Star Trek thing, and they're all, like, bouncing around to make it seem like they're bumping.
Yes. Yeah. Jeff Santos makes the point, best effects. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's the best in that way.
It is really good with their effects, actually.
I think that the storytelling has been great. I think now that we're looking back on 13 weeks, you know, it's sort of some of the episodes early on where you're like, okay, there's not as much happening. It all was really focused. Yeah. You know, it was definitely all focused on getting us to this point.
What's interesting, it took so long to get, like, all of us on board, because I mean, I think in the beginning everybody's a bit like, it's okay, but now I really like it. And thank you, Nicholas, pointing out that Chris Pine's Star Trek had seatbelts.
Well, in Star Trek Beyond, they need seatbelts because they're like going over a cliff to try and take off. That's space. A little different.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like you're gonna, you know, it's like that's like going on a roller coaster and not putting on your seatbelt. You kind of need it for a lift off.
What I liked about, in terms of Stamets' character this episode, was just when Tilly has the idea for them to get out of that no-win scenario.
Yes, that was a good speech conversation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I like that, the scene between them. And that Stamets was somebody that was just very much, everything runs through me, and I will tell the captain about anything. To have that moment where he goes, Tilly, why don't you go inform the captain about your discoveries there? Mm-hmm. And then, so that moment, and then him as he's trying to navigate them back to their universe. And just that moment that they got to have with Hugh. Mm-hmm. I kind of just followed the music.
That was
sort of a very sweet, like you said, that was just a sweet moment. Just like, you know, even though he'd passed on, he's like still helping him, you know, which is great. And I did like that, you know, that idea that, you know, and we've really seen Stamets' character. I mean, he's been through a lot, definitely seen the evolution of his character as well. So in our last few moments here, let's talk about, you know, basically the circumstances we find ourselves in at the end of the episode, which is they have overshot where they left by 9 months. There's no response from the Federation. They bring up the old war map on the screen, which I don't quite understand how that works, but we'll move on. That the Klingons won the war. And then it's like, okay, so that's going to be a problem. And I don't know if... maybe some people don't like to watch the scenes from the next week, but I can't help myself. I need to watch. So we see Admiral Cornwall and Sarek are there, and this idea that Georgiou can kind of help them with the sort of tactics you need if you're going to, you know, tamp down a Klingon insurrection. You know, maybe the Federation isn't the the by the book.
They need to learn how to fight dirty.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're too by the book. They need to know, like, guerrilla war tactics. They need to change it up.
Right. Is that what you foresee, Frank? Is just sort of her just like, you know, well, let me show you how it's done.
Well, yeah, I guess it's going to be kind of the big question. It's like, how much do you sacrifice of yourself for this win? You know, sure, you could win, but at the end of the day, if you end up becoming pretty much just like the Terran Empire, is it really a victory at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, and they address sort of the, you know, the way that she looks at the world, and it's not the way they look at the world. But it's like, at the same time, you know, it's like, will the ends justify the means if it preserves the Federation? Yeah.
But I also think they're bringing back information that they were supposed to give the Federation 9 months prior. So with this new information about terms of cloaking technology and able to get around it, does that help tip the scale back in their direction as
What's your gut reaction, Frank? And I'll ask you in a second, Carrie. Do you think that they will go back 9 months and fix it?
I think that's too easy even out. And I feel like after we did this whole thing about crossing the universe, I would hate for them to go that direction.
Yeah. What do you think, Carrie?
Yeah, I think that'd be a little too easy, but an interesting point. Wellington says, so we need evil to conquer good. No, I don't think they'll necessarily resort to evil things to win, but they might try different tactics than they had been used to.
When you're trying to take out the Klingon Empire, you know, a
newly their hands are going
to
get dirty.
It's a lot different. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, you bring it to the modern, you know, world. It's a world of difference between, you know, spies, you know, going undercover in the Soviet Union and trying to take out ISIS. You know, it's a completely different way that you approach both of those. And this is definitely a lot more like that. And Diggs Briarthon says that the Spore Drive has to win the day.
But also disappear because it doesn't exist later.
So I'm really curious about, I mean, certainly there's going to be a line in the sand moment between with the Federation and Giorgio about like, this is a line we can't cross if we want to win this.
Right, and I really don't want to see them ultimately travel back in time. When they do it in Star Trek IV, it's great, but when they do it at the end of Superman 1, it's infuriating.
Yes.
It's just like, well, no, well, then why did... I lost it, but somebody in the chat did mention the Mirror Universe Discovery, which I would still like to know where that went. What role did that play?
What is their purpose?
Yeah. Did it go to the same point that they left, or is it going to show up in the future? Maybe that's going to be the last scene of episode 15, the season finale, where, you know, the other Discovery shows up. And I guess we'll have to see where it all shakes out. But there are a lot of questions that I personally want answered, and there's not enough time to get them. There's only two more episodes. We're just not going to get all of them.
Yeah. It does feel like it's going to end on a certainly a cliffhanger. How much of one? I'd be curious to see.
And Diggs Briarthon points out the thing that you and I said, Frank, in the very first, not the first episode, but like the third episode of our show, is that the Spore Drive doesn't exist in the original series onward. So clearly there's some problem and it doesn't work. But,
well, I think they kind of pretty much set it up right now, because if anything goes wrong, it's not just our universe that's affected, but the entire multiverse.
Yeah.
That's a lot of responsibility for you. So to tamper with something like that has way more ramifications than they planned. But I am curious what Stamets is going to do, because that's been kind of his passion, and he's had this exposure to such a vast array of the cosmos. To then put that aside, what does that do to somebody that's had that opportunity to kind of see and experience those things? Where do you go from there? Like, what's your follow-up act to that?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
he'll get to another universe and they can travel once he gets on the other side. That's why it's not in the regular universe.
The possibilities are indeed limitless. Jeff Santos says that his theory is that while the Prime Discovery was in the Mirror Universe, the Mirror Discovery went to our Prime Universe and helped the Klingons beat Starfleet. I'm not quite sure why they would do that, because the whole idea of the Terrans is that they basically only like humans, and I don't know why they would help the Klingons. But it's not impossible. There could be a reason. You know, money? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But that's the most fun part of doing the show, I think, is just the theories that people have in there, and the times where they've made us look really smart because they've guessed things that end up happening. And we're like,
Mira Lurka. I agree with
it. Yeah, exactly. Mira Lurka, going back so many weeks now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are out of time for this week, but we will be back next week at the same time. We'll be back Sunday at 10 Pacific, which, of course, is Monday 1 a.m. Eastern time. So if you watch the show in the Eastern time zone, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Please let us know. Comment on the YouTube archive, because we won't have time to see it now. But we'll be back next week. And you can follow me at ChristianDMZ. Carrie and I do Marvel TV Weekly Monday nights. And Tuesday night on the Trump Report, we'll be breaking down the State of the Union address. And Wednesday, South Park Weekly with our friend Phil Svitek. And Carrie, where can people find you?
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie Dillane. That's KARIDLANE. Also on Sunday nights, Box Office Breakdown with this dude here. And Amy, who's on
also
Marvel TV.
Also on Marvel TV Weekly. Yeah.
That's Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific. And then on Mondays is Animation at 5. Animation Weekly at 5. Marvel TV News at 7. Tuesdays is horror movie news at 4, and Wednesdays Vikings ended, but Magicians is still going, and that's at 10 p.m.
I'm exhausted just thinking about having to do all those shows. Not listening to it, just imagining you doing all of those shows. And Frank, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And he will find the best slice of pie in Los Angeles.
I will not rest.
And of course, shameless personal plug, I have my own podcast called The Blatcast, BLADTCAST. You can find it at blatcast.com. But we will see you next Sunday night right here on Star Trek Weekly. Live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.